All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Hour number two. Look at that. I actually can say. I can actually say hour number two. Can actually say hour number two. And we should be back. You should be able to hear me. We should be all set to go. I have no idea why we have these issues. I don't know. I don't know why we have these issues. It's very, very, very upsetting. It's very disappointing. But yes, I guess that's why, you know, I got to say, I guess that's why my ears kill me when I have these stupid headphones. I guess that's why. The majority of, I guess you could call them podcasters, don't do a live feed. I guess that's why they just broadcast or do their podcast and then put it out to everybody for download. And they don't worry about live feeds and things of that nature. Seriously, I think that's why they do it. I think that's why they do it. I think that's why they do it. It's 10 times easier. You don't have the issues that I'm always having as far as quality or as far as being disconnected. Smooth sailing. I'm telling you, I think that's why the podcasters don't do a live feed. That's what I think. That's what I think. But there's just something about not being live. There's just something about it that I still really enjoy and I don't want to get away from. There's just something about it I don't want to get away from. So we're going to try to fix this where we don't have these problems. That's going to be my mission. All right, good. Anyways, let's get back to the debates now that we're in hour number two and we're all set to go. Everything's gelling. Those of you who are watching us on the video feed, I apologize for the break in the momentum. I guess we could call it that, the break in the momentum. But we'll try to pick it right back up. So, where did I leave off? Bathroom break. Okay. Even the bathroom breaks, if you really think about it, even the bathroom breaks are very childlike. You have a bunch of dudes. Okay, you got a bunch of dudes who can hold their pee-pee and poo-poo. Seriously, you got a bunch of dudes that can hold their pee-pee and poo-poo. The time is very rigid. The breaks are very, very rigid. There is no extra commercial. There is no start and stop and start again. And the Democrats, it's obvious that they need more time for breaks. Obvious. It's also obvious that they all have pages and pages of notes. Pages. So even on a juvenile level, when you're talking about bathroom breaks and just breaks in general, the Democrats are like that kid in sixth grade that has to go pee-pee every 10 minutes. And the teacher's like, Marvin, you just went 10 minutes ago. I know, but I got to go again. I know, I got to go again. If I don't go, I'm going to pee-pee my band. Okay. Well, we were going to start the... Okay, well, wait for you. That's what it's like. That's what it's like. So now we'll go to the substance. Now that we're done with the vibe, okay? So no one, and I mean no one, talks about Syrian refugees. No one talks about domestic terror. When the candidates were asked about lone wolf terrorists, like the ones in Chattanooga, Tennessee, like the ones in San Bernardino, like the one in Philadelphia, all three of them gave an answer that was so disconnected from reality. Seriously. So Bernie Sanders is first up on the question of lone wolf. And he danced around. Just danced around. Because remember, Bernie Sanders' entire campaign, his entire mantra is Wall Street.
Wall Street. Wall Street. Big banks. Super PACs. Wall Street.
Somehow Wall Street and super PACs are causing everything bad in this country. Wall Street. But the flip on that is, under Obama, for these past 7 years, everything's been good. That's the interesting tap dance that the Democrats have to do. That's the tap dance that they have to do. So they have to talk about how they would make things better, how they would do things differently, how their ideas would bring more success to this country. But in that same dance, they have to tell everybody how the country has been doing awesome for 7 years under Obama. So you have to listen to Bernie Sanders dance and him rattle off Wall Street, big banks, Wall Street, big banks, super PACs, all these things that are wrong with the country, but the country's been doing awesome for 7 years. So you just kind of sit there and go, what? So if the country for 7 years has had 70 some odd months of job growth and job creation and the lowest unemployment. I mean, we could go down all the talking points that Democrats use. We can go all those talking points. But then somehow we're in trouble, or somehow we aren't doing good because super PACs, Wall Street, and big banks. It's a wild toe tapping. I marvel at it. I really do. I marvel at it. So Sanders is asked, Lone Wolf, what do we do? And he says, we have to go to Silicon Valley. We have to go to Silicon Valley and work with them stopping the propaganda that ISIS uses to get at individuals, whether it's in New York, whether it's in Florida, whether it's in California, whether it's in Germany. That's the way you stop lone wolf terrorists. Yeah. Uh-huh. Exactly. That was my reaction. I was, what? What did he just say? And then, of course, it shifted to Hillary, and she echoed the same thing. And then Andrea Mitchell jumped in and said, Department of Homeland Security tried to do that. They went to Silicon Valley to discuss how to basically prevent terrorists from communicating with other terrorists or other groups via Facebook and Twitter. And they were rejected. Silicon Valley said, well, we're not going to do some of these things that you want us to do because we're talking about privacy and we're talking. And Hillary Clinton goes, no, they didn't. And that's it. That's it. So Andrea Mitchell tells Hillary Clinton that Silicon Valley told the government to go F themselves. Hillary Clinton goes, no, they didn't. Just like a little 12-year-old. And Andrea Mitchell went, okay. And then it shifted to Martin O'Malley, who then went on a tirade against Donald Trump and registries. And if Donald Trump wants to create a registry for Muslims, then he could start with Martin O'Malley. And we're never going to stop lone wolf terrorists. We're never going to stop these individuals unless we are welcoming and work with the Muslim community and stop demonizing them. And then they went on to another, how does anybody feel safe? How does anybody feel safe in this country with a Martin O'Malley administration or a Hillary Clinton administration or even worse, a Bernie Sanders administration, when the question of terrorism and San Bernardino and Fort Hood and Chattanooga and Philadelphia, if their response is no response. If their response is, well, if we're just nice to Muslims, if we're just nice to Muslims, we won't have this problem. If we're just nice, that's all. If we're just nice, and we work with YouTube and Facebook and Twitter. I mean, that's the response. Nothing about surveillance. Nothing about the visa waiver program. Nothing about fiancé visas. I mean, I was shocked. Well, I wasn't shocked. It's the state-run media. It's the liberals. It's an agenda. But I was shocked. Seriously. Just no mentioning of how to deal with terrorism as it pertains to situations like San Bernardino, Philadelphia. We just got to be nice. Like, how would being nice, to Muslims, which I don't even know what that means. Seriously, I don't even know what that means. Because think about it. Donald Trump has only been running for president, give or take, 7 or 8 months. His whole Muslim ban only started about 3 or 4 months ago. Well, Fort Hood happened long before Donald Trump and the Muslim ban. Tennessee happened long before Donald Trump and the Muslim ban. Charlie Hebdo happened long before the Donald Trump Muslim ban. San Bernardino, as far as planning, as far as preparing to slaughter as many people as they could, happened long before Donald Trump and the Muslim ban. The Paris attack happened and planned long before Donald Trump and the Muslim ban. So before Donald Trump talked about this temporary ban on Muslims, Muslims, Islam, were slaughtering Americans by the thousands. So this notion that Donald Trump and the temporary ban on Muslims have been going on for years and years and years and years is ludicrous. Put it all in a perspective of time, ladies and gentlemen. Put it all in a perspective of time. Okay? Think about it. The whole be nice to Muslims, and we have to be welcoming, and we have to work with our Muslim neighbors. That whole push really only started after Donald Trump came out and said, hey, man, we need to have like a ban. We need to have like a temporary ban. This whole push by liberal media of hate crimes which another farce. There's more Jews in this country that are attacked and beaten up, killed, based on their religion than there are Muslims who are beaten up, attacked. That's a fact. That is a fact. Look it up. This farce that the left, this farce that the left want to push, that somehow there's all this hate crime going on in the United States against Muslims, is a farce. Far more Jews are attacked because they're Jews than there are Muslims. So the question was not answered. And I'm sure all the leftists sitting at home were clapping, going, yeah, yeah, we just have to be nice to these people. We just have to be nice, and then they'll not attack us. Because all these attacks happen because of that Donald Trump. Yes. Low information voters. Low information voters. Democrats actually try to accuse Republicans of having low information voters, and their language appeals to low information voters. Please. Showing constituents cartoons and YouTube bloggers is appealing to low information voters. Tell people that all the terrorist attacks in this country have occurred after Donald Trump has said, oh, we should have a temporary ban on Muslims, is a low information voter tactic. So none of these people, O'Malley, Clinton, Sanders, talked about how to stop lone wolf attacks. No one talked about Syrian refugees. No one talked about immigration. No one. Not one of these people talked about immigration. You know, Bernie Sanders is constantly talking about the worker, higher wages. But somehow, immigration and how to reform the system never seems to come up. And the two go hand in hand. You're never going to be able to raise wages. You're never going to be able to force corporations to pay people more and higher wages unless you stop illegal immigration. As long as a company can hire somebody and pay them less than what he would have to pay an American worker, you're never going to get higher wages. But the Democrats want it all. And it's all about votes. It's all about votes. Democrats want it all. They want to look out for the working man. They want higher wages. But they want open borders. As long as you have open borders, you're never going to have higher wages. Because corporations, when push comes to shove, and nobody is policing them as far as hiring illegals, they're always, 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 no matter how many American flags they have posted up on top of their buildings, they're always going to hire cheap labor. Always. Always. I don't care if that owner, that manager, is an open carry, gun-toting, flag-waving, pro-life Republican. He will always, always hire cheap labor. And it doesn't matter if they're illegals, because ultimately money trumps any position as far as pro-life, open carry. Open borders, gay marriage. To the businessman, it's about money. Plain and simple. As much as I despise the Democrats, there's a good chunk of Republicans that have dragged their feet and have done nothing about illegal immigration because they are in bed with big business. And that big business wants cheap labor. So that big business will give tens of thousands of dollars to different Republicans to make sure they can continue, that they could continue to hire cheap labor. And the Democrats didn't talk about immigration at all. They didn't talk about refugees. They didn't talk about visa waiver programs. They didn't really talk about terrorism. It was all about cartoons and YouTube stars. That's it. That was it. That was it. And just to show you, think about this. Just to show you how hypocritical the Democrats are. And it really got my blood boiling. All three of them talked about what's going on in Detroit and the fact that the governor, who of course happens to be Republican, tried to save money because it's a cesspool. I mean, think about Detroit, Michigan. I mean, come on. I mean, think about it. It's, I mean, it's a dump. It's a dump. So to somehow save money, they basically recycled water, which everyone does, but their process wasn't too good. Their process to recycle their water and put it through a system so that it would be clean and free of chemicals for people to drink and bathe in and so forth and so on didn't work. And so people have been drinking water full of lead. Yeah. People have been drinking water that's been full of lead. So each of these Democrats, O'Malley, Sanders, Hillary, did a little speech on the governor and how it's shameful for what he did to the people of Detroit, and he should be forced to resign. Martin Malley even said, hey, if white kids in a wealthy area of Detroit were affected, this situation would have been fixed months ago. Matter of fact, lead filled water would never have reached these white kids in the wealthy area of Detroit. Now, I never knew there was a wealthy area of Detroit. That's number one. Number two, it's amazing to watch them be outraged. Excuse me. It's amazing to watch them be outraged over this situation and call for the resignation of this governor. But yet, Rahm Emanuel, yes, the great Rahm Emanuel in Chicago, can basically cover up the killing of an unarmed black teenager. He could cover it up for something like 14 months till after he's reelected. He can go to Cuba on vacation while other unarmed black folk get killed. And not one of these candidates, not one of these candidates have said, hey, I think Rahm should resign. Even though there's protests every day in Chicago. Every day, people are screaming for Rahm Emanuel's resignation. And yet, these Democrats, Clinton, Sanders, O'Malley, don't speak a single word about Rahm Emanuel. But yet O'Malley is talking about white kids not having to drink lead water, but because black kids were drinking lead water, Republicans were cool with that. And yet, Rahm Emanuel has a city that is in the black folk getting killed. And that's just, it's ROM. And the wild thing about that, is ROM and the situation in Chicago is something that they should have touched on, considering that Sanders and Clinton know ROM and have worked with him extensively. Remember, he worked in the Clinton White House, and he was Obama's chief of staff. One of his advisors, I should say. So Hillary worked with him when she was Secretary of State. And, of course, Sanders worked with him, considering that Sanders is a senator. So when ROM wanted to get votes, when ROM needed support, he had to have gone to Sanders at some point, had a sit down, said, "Bernie, we really need you for this. You're the independent." So the hypocrisy of the Democrats was on just full display. Full display. And it really just set me off when I was watching them go crazy about Detroit and the lead water. And then there was another hypocritical moment as it pertains to Hillary, but what else is new? She's asked about Bill Clinton's role in her administration. Would it start at the kitchen table? Would they have conversations about the economy at the kitchen table? And everybody laughed. Ha 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 ha. And Hillary Clinton said, well, it would start at the kitchen table, and then we'll see from there where it will go. But, of course, he will be asked about things like the economy, considering he knows a thing or two about creating jobs. This exchange went on for a minute or two, and I thought to myself once again, wow. So here you have Lester Holt asking Hillary Clinton about Bill Clinton and his role in her administration, about him being back in the White House, him being intricately intertwined on policy. And yet, Democrats lose their minds when you bring up all of Bill Clinton's past, all the way back from the 70s to as recently as Epstein and flying around in private jets on a billionaire's island, hanging out with sex slaves. Imagine that. Democrats call foul and say none of that has anything to do with Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton is the one that's running for president, not Bill Clinton. So Bill Clinton's past and present should have nothing to do with Hillary Clinton. But yet, Lester Holt and Hillary Clinton are talking about Bill Clinton's role in the White House should she be president. It's kind of a weird hypocrisy, if you want to call it that, right? Isn't that, or is it just me? Is it the stupid little Republican that's podcasting and video feeding? Is it? So when you talk to the Democrats and you watch state-run media, rather it's your Lester Holtz or your Andrea Mitchells or your George Stephanopoulos's or your Daily Beasts, your BuzzFeeds, Huffington Posts, regardless, it's hypocritical to discuss Bill Clinton's past and present because it has nothing to do with Hillary Clinton being president. But yet, Hillary Clinton is telling Lester Holt that Bill Clinton will be part of the administration. He will be at the kitchen table discussing economic issues. If that's the case, I would say that Bill Clinton's past and present fair game. Hell, it's more than fair game. It's 100%. 100%. Fair game. I mean, remember, before the whole Bill Clinton and his sex life and his sexual assaults on women was always something that was swept under the rug because, hey, he's out of the White House. It's over. Some Democrats would say they raped him over the coals. He lost his law license. He was disgraced. He'll always have an asterisk next to his presidency. You can only beat up the guy so much for what he did in the past. That was always the concept with not continuing investigations and basically shelving all these women who had issues with Bill Clinton that never were resolved. It was always, come on, let the president ride off into the sunset. That's what you do. Nobody has badgered George Bush about Iraq and so forth and so on. That's just, you know, proper ex-presidential tactics as far as dealing with former presidents. I mean, now Bill Clinton could possibly be back in the White House. I would think old protocol is off the table. I would think the concept I would think the concept of Bill Clinton being able to ride off into the sunset is thrown out the window when Hillary Clinton is telling Lester Holt that he will be at the kitchen table discussing economic policies. The hypocrisy of Democrats. So then, Andrea Mitchell, and it's funny because they planned this right before the break. So there's no back and forth. There's no follow-up. And it's not just with this question. There really wasn't follow-up back and forth between the candidates or the moderators for that matter. You had a little. But at times it was tough just because Bernie Sanders interrupted everybody. I mean, he makes Carly Fiorina and Jeb Bush look like amateurs, really. The minute you say something about Bernie Sanders or something that he disagrees with, he interrupts you. He doesn't even let you finish your thought. He doesn't sit there and go, okay, I disagree with that, and as soon as they're done talking, I will then say, I strongly disagree, and here's why. They just talk, and he just goes, and then it's horrible. It really is horrible. Horrible. At one point, he gave Hillary Clinton this look. I thought he was going to punch her in the face. She was talking about Bernie Sanders not supporting Obama back in 2012. And he gives her this look. He just turns his head to her, gives her this horrible, creepy look. But right before the break, Andrea Mitchell goes, Bernie Sanders, you have said that Bill Clinton's past behavior was deplorable. What do you want to say? And he just like stops her. He's like, that's just a horrible question. And she goes, well, you answered it. And he goes, well, I was asked the question. She goes, well, you didn't have to answer. He goes, and if I didn't answer, it would have been a headline. Rather, I didn't answer it, it would be a headline. If I answered it, it would be a headline. But look, that's what they want us to do. The media wants me and Hillary Clinton to fight. They want me to attack her. Yes, I think what Bill Clinton did was deplorable. I think it was horrible. Yes. Well, we're not going to get into these personal politics and attacks. Okay? And Hillary's just shaking her head. And then Andrea Mitchell and Lester Holt go, all right, we're going to go to commercial break. That's it. And they go to break. Again, it was just amazing. It was just amazing. Totally amazing. Come back from the break. Like I said, very little was discussed about terrorism, immigration, even ISIS. And the funny thing about the whole ISIS argument, you hear this from the Democrats. We have to get our coalition. We have to have other countries. We have to arm the Kurds. We have all these things that they say has to get done, has already been trying to get done. This coalition has been going on for, I don't know, year, 2 years. There is no coalition. Training fighters, we've gotten about four. Hillary and Bernie and O'Malley act as if this process has just started in the past, I don't know, month? It's been going on. Been going on. And it hasn't worked. It's been going on for well over a year. And it has not worked. Has not worked. So their plan to fight ISIS is the exact same plan that Obama has that hasn't worked. And that whole exchange lasted for what? 7 minutes? 8 minutes? Bernie talked. Hillary talked. O'Malley talked. End of ISIS. End of what needs to be done. They asked him about Iran. They all applauded it. Yay. Yay. And we're going to talk about Iran in the next segment. But they all applauded Iran. Yay. We got hostages back. We gave them billions of dollars. Again, the moderators painted this picture of our dealings with Iran as something that is so happy, and it's like a Pharrell video on YouTube. That was the vibe. No talk of our soldiers being taken hostage. Guns pointed at their heads. The propaganda video that they made. None of this, just none of that. They weren't asked any of that. None of that. It was, what do you think about Iran? Oh, I think it's great. I don't necessarily think we should build or open an embassy there yet, but everything we're doing with them is awesome. Yeah, they fund terrorism, and that's got to stop, but hey, this is a good step. What's a good step? That they said they're not going to build nuclear weapons? That's it? They gave us back four hostages. They gave us back, or five Americans that they've had for years. And we had to give them something like seven or eight of their people that straight up were breaking the law. They took five of our Americans who weren't doing anything. Hell, one of them's a reporter for the Washington Post. Wasn't a military guy. There was no war. He's a reporter. So the same group of people that everybody gets outraged because Donald Trump throws one out of his press conference. A reporter. So they didn't do anything out of the goodness of their heart. They had five innocent Americans as hostages. You know? Amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing. So Bernie, Hillary, O'Malley. They're like, yeah, Iran's awesome. Iran wants to kill all of us, death to America. They want to blow up Israel. They're funding, oh God, Hezbollah. Yeah, I mean, you name the different terrorist groups. Name the different terrorist groups. They're funding them. They are creating complete havoc in the Middle East. And Bernie and Hillary are like, hey, you know what? It's all good. They don't have a nuclear weapon. It's all good. It's all good. Everything's good. Okay. Great. All right. It's all good. Silly us. Like I said, guys, it's like watching a G-rated movie versus an R-rated movie. It's like watching a movie for children and watching a movie for grown-ups. It's like sitting at a little kid's table and using plastic silverware and sitting at the dining room table using the good china. That's the difference with the Democrats and the Republicans. That's the difference. And watching them say all these things that we have to do to make America better. But for the last 7 years, the country's awesome. Obama has done all these awesome things. But we have to do these things because they'll be more awesome than the things Obama has done. I mean, they mildly, and I say mildly, pushed Bernie Sanders on how he intends to pay for all of his programs. Mildly. Andrea Mitchell mildly pushed him. And when I say mildly, that means she followed up once. But O'Malley never questioned him. Hillary Clinton never questioned him. And the follow-up by Andrea Mitchell was so weak. Well, it was childlike. All the follow-up questions were childlike. It was pathetically weak. Pathetically weak. And no one will talk about it because the entire, and I've said this like a broken record, the media is all state run. So nobody's going to question Andrea Mitchell. Nobody's going to talk about how soft this debate was. But Bernie Sanders was never pushed, and I mean really pushed, on how to pay for everything that he's proposing. And the fact that people support Bernie Sanders is beyond me, because the things that he's proposing are never ever going to happen. When people say, oh, Donald Trump, he's never going to be able to build a wall. Listen, you got a better shot of Donald Trump building a wall and deporting people that are here illegally than Bernie Sanders ripping up Obamacare and creating a bill, creating a law that gives health care to everyone in the United States for free. Imagine Obamacare barely got passed, and the Democrats controlled the House and the Senate by huge margins. And even then, the only way they got it passed was with procedure motions, reconciliation. They still had to finagle to get Obamacare passed. And yet Bernie Sanders thinks he's going to do away with Obamacare, put in place a new policy that gives everybody free health care, and somehow a Republican-controlled House and Senate is going to pass that. It's ludicrous. It's absolutely ludicrous. And people support Bernie Sanders and go, yeah, yeah, Donald Trump, boo. Donald Trump says, listen, we're going to lower the tax rates across the board for everybody. Boo. It'll never get in. Boo. Bernie Sanders says, I'm going to raise the taxes to the highest it's ever been in 50 years. People go, yeah! It's like all these things you need Congress to do. I mean, Donald Trump's ideas will never get passed, but Bernie Sanders' will. Oh, my God. Again, it's a G-rated movie full of information for the lowest, for the lowest of low information voter, like YouTube watchers and My Name is Caitlin watchers and Real Housewives of Atlanta watchers and cat videos on YouTube watchers. These are the people. These are the individuals. YouTube stars, Bernie Sanders. It's just insane. It's insane. It really is. It's insane. And that was the debates. In a nutshell, that was the Democratic debate. I know. We took, an hour and 45 minutes to discuss this. We'll put it in a story you will enjoy the story on this Martin Luther King Day. We're not going to do our tribute to Esther Rolle. Okay? We were going to do our yearly tribute to Esther, but we're not. It's already 12:10. We got to bring in the beautiful Cat Howe and discuss the pop culture news of the day. Tomorrow I want to get to the Iran deal. Remember, today they're flush in cash. They're flush. They're flush. They got billions. We gave them billions. So I want to discuss that. We'll also discuss this Mark Levin obsession with Ted Cruz. And now I'm hearing there's an obsession coming from Limbaugh. Now, I'm hearing now that there is a love that's brewing with Limbaugh and Ted Cruz. Yeah. Yeah. Yep, that's what I'm hearing. So we'll discuss that. A lot of these things we'll go over. Today was the debates, okay? Today was the Democratic debates. Tomorrow we'll discuss Iran. We'll discuss Levin and Cruz and now Limbaugh. We'll discuss the billions of dollars that Iran is now flush with and who they're going to be sending that money to. Because let's face it, you know, it's going to be going to Hamas and Hezbollah. It's going to fund their operations in Yemen. Going to fund their operations over in Syria. It's going to fund their operations in Iraq. Let me tell you something. These billions, okay, the billions that Iran has gotten, they've already spent it. Okay? They've already spent that money. Right? They've already spent that money. Already spent that money. It's gone. They already spent it. And it's not going to make a better life for their people. No. That money is funding terrorists. That money is buying more weapons. That money is up to no good. So we'll discuss that tomorrow also. A lot of things, but let's take a break. Let's bring in Cat Howe. She's going to give us a pop culture and sports update. And from there, we'll sign off. So we'll be right back after these fascinating, and I mean fascinating words, okay? Fascinating. It's the Rob Zicari Show.
South Carolina. Carolina Governor Nikki Haley, in her response to the State of the Union address, appeared to choose sides within the party, saying Republicans should resist, quote, the siren call of the angriest voices. She confirmed she was referring to you, among others. Was she out of line? And how would a President Trump unite the party?
Okay. First of all, Nikki this afternoon said I'm a friend of hers, actually a close friend. And I, wherever you are sitting, Nikki, I am a friend. We're friends. That's good. But she did say there was anger. And I could say, oh, I'm not angry. I'm very angry because our country is being run horribly. And I will gladly accept the mantle of anger. Our military is a disaster. Our health care is a horror show. Obamacare, we're going to repeal it and replace it. We have no borders. Our vets are being treated horribly. Illegal immigration is beyond belief. Our country is being run by incompetent people. And yes, I am angry. And I won't be angry when we fix it. But until we fix it, I'm very, very angry. And I say that to Nikki. So when Nikki said that, I wasn't offended. She said the truth. One of your colleagues interviewed me and said, well, she said you were angry. And I said to myself, she's right. I'm not fighting that. I didn't find it offensive at all. I'm angry because our country is a mess.
Look,
I'd love to know where that. Well, like, you were just sitting there and you went, oh, I'm going to look this up.
It's Martin Luther King Day. I don't know, but everything has been kind of going haywire.
In what sense? What do you mean?
Well, we got our live feed as far as the radio got jacked off.
Like this one?
Yeah.
Because this one's doing fine whenever I looked. And whenever I looked on there, it like kept playing music for some reason. I kept hearing you say, 1 minute, one more minute.
Yeah, because
it was. And all I heard was like music and then. So.
Yeah. Like, so that got disconnected. So this feed got disconnected. And then this feed, it's fine, but see how it says disconnected, reestablished,
yeah.
Disconnected, reestablished. This is also being a little temperamental. So it's like both these things are being. Temperamental. They're being bitchy. I don't know why. So today's, I don't know.
You ready for news?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Woo! So 50 Cent.
50 Cent.
Is getting called out by Meek Mill, who calls out Drake, who 50 Cent was like, hey, you doo-doo head. your career is over and you need to stop blabbing your mouth on false things and you keep burning bridges and go get Nicki Minaj pregnant because that's all you're going to ever be good for is knocking her up. Meek Mill's like, yo man, you're the one that burned all your bridges. You're broke. You're miserable and you're trying to pick a fight with me? Aw, shoot, homie. That's the white girl version of two rappers feuding.
Okay. I know who 50 Cent is. I don't know who Malik Malil is.
Well, Meek Mill is this guy who is a rapper who's engaged to Nicki Minaj who likes to start beef with other rappers.
Does he have any songs that...
I heard like two songs and I can't even tell you because they're not really 100% him. It's like him and like three other people rapping. So.
All right.
That's 50 Cent and Meek Mill. Jada Pinkett Smith and Spike Lee are boycotting the Oscars for lack of diversity and will not be attending the award show. What's the award show?
I don't know. I don't...
Oscars. Oscars are...
I don't think anybody really...
Next weekend, I think. I don't remember. I don't know. I don't remember when the Oscars are.
I don't think anybody really cares.
But Jada Pinkett Smith and Spike Lee, of course, are like, we, you know, put out so much good movies and you guys can't even recognize us. It's all white people. And it's like, well, maybe if you put out a movie that was like, you know, 12 Years a Slave or Butler, The Color Purple, maybe we could get nominated.
12 Years a Slave, The Butler, Purple.
Color Purple. Color Purple.
All right.
I'm just saying, like, it's not that they don't like you guys. It's not like, oh, we're all going to put only white people in the Oscars. It's maybe if you put out a good movie. Now, I understand Concussion, but my theory on Concussion is, why have an American man put on a horrible South American accent whenever you have, like, five British, like, legit British actors that can totally pull off that doctor? I would rather see Idris Elba play the doctor. I would rather see David Oyelowo play the doctor. I'd rather see, but I don't remember, but the kid that's in This Brand Is Crisis, the black kid, what's his name?
Wasn't he also in The Martian?
That's probably what I'm thinking of. I don't know which one I'm thinking of, but I do know he's in one of those movies, and I don't remember if he's from America or if he's from Europe, but I thought he had an accent, but he could even play the doctor from South Africa.
For South Africa. Well, you know, the funny thing is, and I'm not going to go into a huge diversity
mm-hmm.
conversation. It's something that I'll do maybe tomorrow, but it just wasn't that good of a movie. When black folk are in really good movies,
mm-hmm.
no different than white folk, and it's a role that unanimously everybody goes, oh my God, that was awesome.
Yeah.
Then they'll either be nominated and or win. You know, Forest Whitaker, who won for The Last King of Scotland back in 2006. Phenomenal movie. Phenomenal role. Jamie Foxx, Ray, you know,
yeah.
playing Ray Charles. He won. That's the phenomenal. I mean, you don't, they're phenomenal. Concussion wasn't a phenomenal movie.
Yeah.
It wasn't a phenomenal movie. It was subject matter that was controversial. I'm not saying I'm just saying what somebody might think as being a phenomenal movie. Oh, well, it was, you know, Concussions in the end. It was just a controversial subject matter, but it wasn't a phenomenal movie. People didn't go, oh my God, it's phenomenal. Now, I'm not saying that the Eddie Redmayne movie was phenomenal. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, if the movie is phenomenal,
yeah.
regardless of the actor is black, regardless of the actor is white, regardless of the actor is purple, it will win. Cuba Gooding Jr., he won for Best Supporting Actor in 96 for Jerry Maguire. It was just one of those roles that everybody went, oh my God, that was awesome. Mm-hmm. Oh my, I mean,
Denzel Washington, same thing. What about Morgan Freeman and Million Dollar Baby? Everybody said, oh, my God, Million Dollar Baby, unbelievable movie. Oh, my God, you want to cry. Oh, my God. I mean, it was one of those oh, my God moments that everybody was. Morgan Freeman, oh, my God. Mm-hmm. The Concussion wasn't an oh, my God movie. Straight Outta Compton wasn't an oh, my God movie. It's like, guys, enough. Precious. Remember Monique and Precious? Mm-hmm. Everybody was like, Precious. Oh, my God. Phenomenal. Monique. Precious. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
oh, my God.
Crazy mom.
Yeah, I mean, again, Jennifer Hudson in Dreamgirls. Everybody was like, oh, my God. Well, there was no oh, my God for Will Smith in Concussion. It wasn't an oh, my God.
He hasn't done an oh, my God since Pursuit of Happiness.
Yeah. And when he did that, people went, oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's like you can't just – I would imagine – I can't imagine that black folk want to get something just because they're black. I would think in this day and age that they don't want something just because they're black. And now with the Academy Awards, that's what we're dealing with. Oh, well, why wasn't this nominated? So basically what you wanted them to do is go, well, we have these four white actors. We need to put a black in there. So, eeny, meeny, miny, moe. That's horrible. I mean, you would want that? So Will Smith would want to have a nomination based on, well, I'm black. They had to give it to me. I mean, let's put it this way. Chris Rock is the host.
Mm-hmm.
Only. Strictly because he's black, and this year they didn't want to get aggravation from everyone, so they're like, well, you know what, let's have Chris Rock back. Not Chris Rock before, I'm talking about this year. He's been gone from the Oscars. Now they brought him back. They did that solely based on the fact that he's black. Solely based on the fact that he's black.
And, you know, speaking of snubs, one of the snubs, and I feel Netflix kind of, like, just went brr on this one. That's, like, their own fault. But Idris Elba, I will give it to them, give it to the people boycotting against the Oscars. Idris Elba should have got the nomination for Beast of No Nation, but considering that Netflix was a little too late to the party with the whole movie theater thing, they
yeah.
should have prepared a little bit more, because that movie did get a lot of hype. It still, in a way, does, because people...
Well, the whole thing with that movie, like I said, we could do a big bit on this. I want to do a bit on the whole diversity. It's a new coded language. But the whole thing with the Idris Elba and that Beast movie... That's the only one that you could make an argument for and say, well, why didn't that get it? But it was a Netflix movie that was only supposed to be a Netflix movie.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody within their group said, hey, you know, if this is a real movie, as far as movie theaters and a theatrical release, mm-hmm. it would get nominated. So what we should do is just release it to, like, the bare minimum of what has to be required to get an Oscar nomination. That way we could get one. So they didn't make a theatrical movie. They made a Netflix original that they then tried to circumvent the rules and kind of backdoor a nomination. So in that aspect, the Oscars actually went, hey, guess what, guys? F you. You're not going to try to sneak it in. Because that's what they did. They basically went, okay, so what's the – they got a pen and they wrote down, okay, what's the criteria? Well, it has to be in X amount of theaters. It has to do this. It has to do this. And they went, okay. And they just barely got it. so that they could get nominated. That's kind of effed up. So if you eliminate that, you're now talking about Will Smith.
Yeah.
And he wasn't that good. If anything, that's canceled with Johnny Depp's portrayal of Whitey Bulger. And so there, Whitey Bulger and Johnny Depp didn't make it. The South African
doctor
and Will Smith didn't make it. There, they cancel him out. Are you going to say that Will Smith should have just made it because he's black? That's effed up.
Yeah.
And I would think Will Smith wouldn't want a nomination based on him being black. We'll discuss more of that at a later time.
Linda Perry says that Lady Gaga, does not deserve her Oscar nomination for original song since all she did was edit one line of the song and then they claimed it to be her song for the movie The Hunting Game. Yeah, Hunting Grounds. Diane Warren, who was another former band member of... Now, basically, Four Non-Blondes, when they broke up, they all became songwriters for other people. Linda Perry is a songwriter for Christina Aguilera, Beyonce, and Britney Spears, and so on and so forth. Diane Warren is another songwriter. She wrote this song for this movie that had Lady Gaga come in and then change one verse, and then all of a sudden Lady Gaga is the one that got nominated and not whoever put it all together. So now Linda Perry's like, you're great, I love you, but you just don't deserve the nomination.
See, I didn't know that. I didn't know that she did their song. I didn't know that.
Okay, well, whatever. Okay. F her.
David Bowie's Black Star album has... the first David Bowie album to hit number one on the Billboard charts between the week of January 8th and January 14th that it came out, getting 181,000 units in the United States. Congratulations.
Poor David Bowie. This is probably the biggest selling album he's had in like 20 years or something.
No, it's since his 2006 album, I think, that only had 85,000 units sold.
That's what I'm saying. So it's
2006.
Like, yeah, but 85,000 units isn't more than 181.
No, I'm saying that was his biggest album 10 years ago.
Exactly. That's what I mean. He hasn't had these types of albums since the 80s. Let's Dance. Put on your red shoes and dance the blues. That era. Like you said, David Bowie was a pioneer. He was a legend. He was a genius. But he was part of that 60s, 70s, and 80s musician that all of a sudden it was done.
Yeah.
You know, it was like Led Zeppelin. It's done.
Done.
Done. That's it. Elton John, done. It's like they had this 20-year
span.
Yeah, 30-year span of hits that are monsters, and then it's over. And then they put out music that was like, what the hell is this?
What is that?
Yeah, but they're like, me and you've talked about it before. It's kind of like what Billy Joel has said about him not making music anymore.
Yeah.
And he said, basically, since that middle 90s, that we didn't start the fire record, that was like the last time he said that he was inspired or had hits in him. And he said he could write music and make music, but it's not going to be Piano Man. It's not going to be that music.
Yeah.
And he said, and if you can't make music like that, what's the point of creating just music for the sake of creating music?
Definitely.
That was basically Billy Joel's. And he's one of those artists that don't put anything out.
Yeah.
No different than Elton John doesn't put anything out. When does Elton John put out a Rocket Man or, you know, something like
Benny
that? Yeah, Benny and the Jets or even Rod Stewart. Yeah, they'll put out a record, but you're like, what? This?
That's why they go. That's why they go to Vegas and make millions of dollars.
Yeah. So this is it's a shame Bowie died, and he's got a huge. I mean,
the same happened with Michael Jackson back in 2009. He had an album that just went whoosh.
Yeah.
And it was like the first album since.
Yeah.
This Is It was the album in 2009. Remember he died in the right before the tour started.
Yeah.
And it went number one. So
yeah, but, I mean Michael Jackson's also that one of those performers that, you know, from the Jackson 5 to Thriller and then done. And then everything he put out after I think the last one was Black, You're White. Does mean they
What was it? Chris Ross did the one of the comedians did a joke and was like, "You have a song called that goes, it doesn't matter if you're black or white, but why are you white?"
Yeah,
and that was like the whole.
I think
joke.
That was the last.
I remember he did a song when he was white, and he did a music video that was like 8 minutes long that had Chris Tucker in it, and they were like in a bar, and it's all like rockabilly or not rockabilly, Speakeasy, and they're all like fighting, like all these people, and they're like dancing and singing to the girl, and it was just very just dramatic.
Yeah, so he's very similar. He's got nobody knows any of the music that Jackson made before he died. It's all the music that he made with the Jackson 5 when he was a little boy, and then Thriller and Off the Wall. That's the stuff where you're like, but it is what it is.
All right. So Judd Apatow, last night was the Critics' Choice Award.
Him.
And Judd Apatow was presenting the award to Amy Schumer for MVP because that's what the critics gave her, was MVP of being Amy Schumer.
Oh.
So he kind of bashed on the Golden Globes because of the comedy section, The Martian won, and everyone's like, okay, because it's so funny. It's the most funniest movie in the whole entire world. And he goes, I see Matt Damon staring at me, and this was our one shot. This was the only chance we had. This is our one award. And I felt like a nerd in school, and you just took my milk money. And I'm like, that's classic. So you can hate it if you want, but he is right. The comedy section got robbed by a drama film starring Matt Damon by Ridley Scott, right?
Yeah.
About a man surviving on Mars. There's nothing funny about that.
Yeah.
I cried.
There's definitely.
Bryce Dallas Howard made me cry.
Yeah. There's definitely nothing. There was no comedy.
He made a joke. He goes, oh, so now at the Golden Globes, we can just pick whatever award section we want to be in. So since I had an Asian in my film, I can be in Best Foreign Film. So I'm like, ha 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 ha.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. The whole, Martian had. It had three or four, like, one-liners.
Yeah.
That's not a comedy. Like we said, it's not fart jokes and...
It's not train wreck.
Yeah, you know.
It's not The Interview with Seth Rogen. It's not whatever comedy film. Vacation.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, here's the sports news.
Mm-hmm.
Carson Palmer and Cam Newton are the first Heisman quarterback trophy... quarterback Heisman Trophy winners to go head-to-head in the playoffs. It's never been done. Palmer's 36. Newton's 26. Palmer won in 2002. Newton won in 2010. And now they're going head-to-head this Sunday for the
NFC
championship game.
Yes.
In Carolina.
Yes. It's going to be huge.
Go Panthers, go!
In order for Arizona to get there, they had to beat
the Packers
in a historic overtime Hail Mary filled game of epic proportions. Those of you who didn't see the Packers and
Cardinals
play, you missed one of the greatest playoff games in the history of football. At least that's my opinion. Can't get more.
Yeah, because watching the two old farts, Peyton Manning and Ben Roethlisberger, was very boring until the end. Until the end. The end was the most intense part. But that first three quarters, well, two and a half, because right before the third quarter ended, whenever everything started getting really intense.
Great games. Great games.
All right, so.
And then.
Wait, no. Don't say anything else.
Okay.
I got this. I'm the sports girl here, okay? All right.
Okay.
Matt, now this is basketball story, then going to football story. All right, so Matt Barnes of the Memphis Grizzlies has been fined for $35,000 by the NBA for inappropriate conflicting violence comments. He got into a fight in October with the New York Knicks coach, Derek Fisher. And they played each other last night, and he said, violence is never the answer, but sometimes it is. And the NBA fined him because they go, you can't, like, make, like, quasi-weird little threats to people.
Mm-hmm.
So you're fine. $35,000 and suspended two games. Goodbye, old man. All right. Now back to the other Sunday's game. For the 17th time, Tom Brady and Peyton Manning will play each other for the AFC Championship game in New England, right? In New England.
No, in Denver.
Oh, in Denver. This is their fifth playoff together.
Mm-hmm.
And I said 17th time because Colts and Broncos.
Yeah, that they played each other in their history, not playoffs, but just in their history of playing football.
Now, Tom Brady is 39 years old. Peyton Manning is 40 years old.
Are they that old now?
Yep.
I didn't know Peyton hit 40.
He's about, yeah.
Didn't know that. Tom was 39 yet.
I didn't realize
yet.
They were that old. I thought one was 37, one was 39.
Yeah.
But who am I?
Okay. I didn't know that Tom was 39 already.
The Patriots have 11 games, 11 wins, 11 victories against Peyton Manning and whichever team. So both teams combined. So take your pick of which old man you like better. I like to say old man because being that close to 40 and you're playing football, you're considered... You know, you're like Brett Favre, you're like ancient. So I'm going for the Patriots. Who are you going for?
Patriots.
Patriots! I want Patriots and Panthers.
I do not know how Denver beats the Patriots. They didn't look good against Pittsburgh, because Pittsburgh's a really good team.
Yeah.
And in order to beat them, you had to do good. So their defense was awesome. And you can't say, oh, but their offense struggled. Their offense has struggled all season, even with Osweiler.
Yeah.
The Denver offense has not been strong. They're just not – they're not the offense they were the year before. And it has nothing to do with Peyton Manning. It has everything to do with Gary Kubiak.
Mm-hmm.
It has everything to do with their offensive coordinators and the people that are in charge of that. Last year, it was John Fox.
Yeah.
The year before that was John Fox. It was different coordinators. It was a different team. The team this year is different.
Yeah.
So... even when Osweiler, whatever his name is, was the quarterback, they weren't putting up 40 or 50 points a game. They weren't the offense of last year.
Right.
I don't – so to say, they struggled. They struggled all year. Their offense isn't that good. They're not one of those – they're not the Denver of the year before. With that said, I don't see how they stop New England. New England has all their weapons back. Brady's got all – he's got Edelman back. Gronk is healthy. They've got everybody back that they need. I don't see how Denver beats them because if it comes down to a tit for tat, like, oh, New England scores, Denver's got to score.
Yeah.
They're not going to be able to do it. They're not going to be able to go and trade score for score. Field goal, touchdown, field goal, touchdown. And the minute New England scores and Denver can't answer and New England scores again, it's over. If New England jumps out and is able to take a 10 or 14 point lead, Denver can't come back. They don't have the offense this year to make comebacks.
And even the Patriots' defense is really good too.
Yeah, they can't do it.
Aw.
They can't do it.
Ivanka, I love her. She's so pretty. Oh, I saw more stories. All right, so Ronda Rousey says that there will be a fight this or a rematch this year against her and Holly Holm. No date, no time. But it is for sure going to happen. So
she's got to hope that Holly Holm doesn't lose and to Mischka Tate. And then if she loses to Mischka Tate, the intrigue of the Holly Holm fight won't be
yeah.
Ronda Rousey. It won't be as
impactful.
So that's why Dana White was trying to not have her fight before Rousey,
yeah.
just in case Mischka Tate beats Holly Holm. But hey,
I like Mischka Tate. All right, final story. Yeah. I got my final story. So Hugh Jackson, the new coach of the Browns,
yeah.
says if there is a really good quarterback available at number two, they're taking it because they need a quarterback. Because, as you know, he's like, you want me, you have to get rid of little Johnny Texas boy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want him. So I don't know what I'm going to do with this other quarterback, but he'll be back up, and we need someone new, and we need a quarterback. That's what we need, and that's what's going to happen. He's about rebuilding. He wants to rebuild the Browns. He doesn't want them to be 313. Shoot. No one's a team that's 313. Not me.
I never heard of Hugh Jackson.
He was like a coordinator for one of the teams. All right, guys, that's it. My name is Katie. This is Handsome Rob. This is Rob Security Show. This is Boss. This is sexy little Boss Bear Belly. His daddy likes to cut the barrel body. Woo.
The barrel.
All right, guys, we'll see you all tomorrow. Have a great Monday or long.